When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. I am at Joel Pearl. It is, I guess now it's Sunday, July 21st, but we're here to talk about TNA Slammiversary for Saturday, July 20th, from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. That's where I am right now, but I'm not important here. The two people above me are the ones who are important and watch the show that you watched. I just sat in the crowd, so we'll get to that. But with me, as always, the wonderful Cresta Starr. How are you, Cresta?
Hi, I'm feeling fantastic. I had a great time watching this show. I'm excited to hear what you guys thought about it, especially you, Joel, from your perspective. How are you?
I'm alive, and it's a start. The Ubers work. It started raining as I left the venue, so I can't complain. Otherwise, a beautiful day in Montreal. We'll talk all about that and much more. And of course, joining us for all of the TNA pay-per-view specials, not just the TNA Plus specials. No, when the money is on the table, this man joins us. He hosts the Weekender podcast on FightfulSelect.com, and he hosts the Spotlight with Jeremy Lambert every Thursday morning on Fightful, on YouTube.com/Fightful, rather. Steven Jensen joins us. Good morning.
Yeah, good to see y'all. It's always good to do these TNA pay-per-view post shows with y'all. Big show tonight, and we're gonna definitely get into that, all that. Thank you for sticking with us in the chat. We see y'all. Thanks for on the delay. Joel was obviously there live, and we wanted to make sure he was here for the whole thing, because I'm just like Cresta. I want to know what Joel's perspective of all this was as well, being live in that crowd. It was a lot of people there live in attendance. It seemed like a pretty good vibe tonight. So good to see everyone. And in case I forget to mention it at the end of the show, just for everybody, I'm planning on being at Action Wrestling tomorrow at DOS Barbecue in Atlanta, Georgia. So if anyone happens to be at that show, definitely say what's up, because I love meeting people from the Fightful community. So anyways, how y'all doing?
Cresta, are you still here? Are you still with us?
I have passed on to the next life, and I am a hologram, since that seems to be going around.
It seems to hologram seems to be very popular these days. Listen, there's an AEW Collision review y'all can go watch after you watch our review, or maybe you've already watched it and now you just jumped onto ours. That's also a possibility. But if you want to support us here on Fightful, you can go ahead and leave a thumbs up on this video. That goes a long way. You can subscribe to the channel. That also helps us. Those are the free 99 options. And of course, if you donate a super chat, any amount gets your question or statement read on the air. I want to push upperchats.com, and Cresta will tell you how in a second, but I will also be a little delayed in getting to them because I am on a different computer than my normal beast of a machine. So Cresta, would you like to explain the Humper Chat?
Why, I would love to explain the Humper Chat. You take your fingers, your thumbs, or whatever you use to type, even your toes. You go over to humperchats.com, put your question or your comment in the little comment box. Myself, Steven Jensen, or the lovely Joel Pearl will respond. And we get to keep a little bit more of the donations. It keeps the lights on. We get paid. Thank you so much, humperchats.com. Don't be afraid.
It allows us to go to events like these that are very fun and very special. An interview that I did today with Steve Macklin, that's going to be dropping in the next couple of weeks, so keep an eye out for that. My plan is tomorrow to be speaking to Trey Miguel, and that's a big, big opportunity because Trey has been quite prominently featured in the NXT and TNA partnership with the Rascals. They had a match tonight against NXT's No Quarter Catch Crew. That was very fun, so we'll talk a little bit about that, but let's just get right down to the show. We don't need to spend too much time on what happened during the pre-show. The big news really that started it was Jonathan Gresham wasn't able to make it. So in his place was Rich Swann from First Class, and he took on a new look Kushida. What were you guys kind of feeling when you saw Kushida's new look? Let's start with Steven Jensen on this one.
It was the Hakushi look, the old school with the paint all the way down with the symbols. I didn't expect that. He came out with like that, what do you call it, like a helmet? I don't know what you exactly call it. He wore out to the ring. I was kind of confused, but I mean the match was good. The match was solid. I like both these guys. They put on a solid. I mean for like the 6 minutes it lasted, it was good. But yeah, I wasn't expecting the look, but you know it is what it is. What about you,
Cresta? I want your thoughts on this.
I mean, you can tell he came out ready to fight Gresham. I'm not mad at it. I guess he was like, this is how to stop the ink. And shout out to Rich Swann. Like Steven Jensen said, it was a solid match. The match itself was good. I was not expecting the new gear and the new music, but there's nothing really besides that.
So this is going to be a bit of a trend for me tonight. This was spoiled for me. And it wasn't spoiled by any insider stuff. It was literally spoiled by Kushida being one of the participants in the meet and greets that they were holding before the show. Now, for those who are aware, TNA does the titanium packages. No, I didn't get one, but I was in the area, which is a big open space where those who had the titanium package, which includes a meet and greet. And this time they did a poutine party, which... okay, sure. I got a free thing of poutine out of it. Thank you, TNA. But regardless, they're meeting Kushida, and Kushida is all gimmicked up. He doesn't have the thing on his head, but he's got the t-shirt, and you can kind of see the characters going down his arm, and you can see the new shorts. And I'm like, he's doing something different tonight. But it's weird that he's doing it considering he's not doing the Gresham match. So I don't know why they didn't push this to a different time. Maybe they're just trying to tell the story of Kushida's, you know, ongoing transformation coming out of everything with Gresham. The match was fine. Like you said, it was a 6.5 minute match. It was what it was. It builds Kushida as, you know, a little more violent. And the finish was great. Doing the hoverboard lock off top rope slam. Love that finish. But other than that, yeah, there is a series of this was spoiled for me by TNA and not by anyone else leading through tonight. So we'll get to that. Elsewhere on the card, Militia, they retained their tag team championships earlier, and Tasha Steele steals a victory over Fabi Apache, Giselle Shaw, and Zaya Brookside. That was a bit of a shocker, but really the more interesting shocker was the return of Alexander Hammerstone, as reported on FightfulSelect.com. It felt like this was a long time coming. We haven't seen Hammerstone since before No Surrender, when he was supposed to have a match against, I believe, Jake Something, and he was unavailable. So Hammerstone comes back tonight. Surprise, they announced a last-minute pre-show match against Eric Young. What were your thoughts, Jensen? Because Hammerstone did not win in his return.
That's kind of surprising, right? Like he returned and he lost, and it was a pretty quick match as well, like a 5 minute match. And the finish, I'm not sure if that's exactly what they were going for, because it just kind of came off like he kind of got like just, you know, it was something where he almost like kind of hit the ropes. He like kind of got distracted almost, and Eric Young just you know, schoolboy roll up 1-2-3. It was just kind of like anticlimactic, you know. Like, nothing against Eric Young. I'm one of those people that feel like if he's going to be in TNA, that he should be probably like a perennial, you know, like upper level type guy, like, you know. But Hammerstone, I figured they kind of teased there's more coming for this, you know, later on in the show when they set up the mixed tag match later on. But like, I think it was a strange decision to have Hammerstone lose, you know, via just kind of roll up pin by Eric Young in 5 minutes on the pre-show.
Cresta, I want your thoughts as well on this whole thing with Hammerstone's return.
Before we get into that, I do want to say with that women's match that ref was a paid actor, because I don't know what he was doing that whole match. And I felt like I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up, because he spent so much time arguing with the tag team match with Jody Threat. I really put, is this ref a paid actor? Anyway, about Hammerstone, go ahead.
Shout out to Frank Gastineau, who is one of the main referees on TNA's roster.
Nah, dog. I thought he was going to do some shenanigans in the Ali match. When I saw him, I was like, oh, he was healing it up since the pre-show. The Hammerstone thing, I was surprised that he lost to Eric Young. And I'm not saying that Eric Young anything against him, but I feel like Eric Young doesn't lose anything from losing. He's a great talent no matter where you put him. And to have Hammerstone come back, I don't know. It was a good match, but having Hammerstone lose was different.
So people in the chat saying that it was a choice. And I agree. On one hand, Eric Young's a former world champion. On the same hand, he's Canadian. He's wearing Montreal Canadiens gear in Montreal. So big hockey fan is Eric Young. And then he did the promo to open the show and get everyone excited, as he typically does. So like, it made sense, but you probably could have done that with anyone. However, if they're going to stimulate a match out of this, I can't really complain with the outcome. It's just a very interesting way to merge Hammerstone back into traffic. And he's a guy that we haven't seen in almost 6 months. So all in all, like, I'm, as they say, I'm willing to let it play out. Now.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Let's dig into this main card. There's plenty to talk about. I know the last three matches are the ones, really the last four, we're going to have a lot to say. So I don't know how much time we have to spend on Broken Matt Hardy beating JDC Dirty Dango. My one takeaway from the live crowd, bless Montreal. Montreal, who haven't had a TNA pay-per-view since 2011, and Fandango wasn't even a thing. And here they are going, da-da-da-da-da, fantastic. God bless. Other than that, the match was fine. People loved seeing Matt Hardy. But other than that, Cresta, what do you think of this match?
I didn't see this match because literally I sent you guys a message saying my power's going to go out. And that's what my power did. It went out. So when I came back, Matt Hardy was doing this. So I'm like, yay, JDC deserved that ass beating if you got one. I hope you did. Shout out to Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy pretty breaks off of JDC.
It's pretty definitive. Yeah, pretty definitive, pretty one-sided. Yeah, Matt Hardy, what hit him with a Twist of Fate to pin him, and then hit him with like two or three more after the match just to, you know, cherry on top. So yeah, not a whole lot more that I can really go into with that, but yeah, I mean, the fans, like, the thing with Matt Hardy is pretty polarizing, right? Like, whether people are like huge fans of his or not, and like, how does he fit in the current TNA landscape and all that kind of stuff. But I think it was smart to have him open the show because, like, the crowd was hot for him coming out and doing all the delete stuff. Like, so I think it was smart to have him. If they were going to do this match in, like a 5-minute match between these two, it was smart that it just opened the show. It was basically a squash match, and they moved on. So I was fine with it.
It's interesting because I think another theme of the night was they did a lot in a minimal amount of time, and not a lot of things got to breathe as a result. And we'll get to that as we go through towards the end of the card. There was a lot of stuff that was moment, and then we got to go. And that's something that I harp on when it comes to AEW pay-per-views, is that sometimes the pacing is so frenetic that you just don't get a chance to accept and talk about the result. This was one of those matches where you could have done it on impact and just kind of pushed it away. So it was, I get why it was there. Like Jensen said, it was to get the pop from Matt Hardy in the big open, but otherwise, it was there.
Well, and also just real quick, like, it's probably the best you could do with Matt Hardy in a situation like this because, I mean, for those of you who don't know, unless I'm wrong about this, like Jeff, like, could not have been there tonight. So it's not like they could have done, like, a Hardy Boys thing or anything like that. So they were kind of pigeonholed in, like, the options they had with Matt because they're waiting for Jeff to be available anyways to go back to that when they can, and Jeff couldn't be there. So,
Exactly. As reported on Fightful Select, Jeff Hardy was unavailable to cross the border into Canada. So it's Matt Hardy for the two shows this weekend. And it's fine. Again, fans are going to love it. And they had fun. Let's move on. The TNA Tag Team Championships change hands. The system dropped their titles to the Ace of Bays, as we call them on this show. But of course, they're ABC. New theme for them. And we introduce another theme of the night. Everyone's wearing pink.
Oh, yep. I thought you were going to say stiff because that was the theme of the night from the beginning. Every match was stiff.
Yeah. Hey, talk about it. Let's talk about this match, Cresta. You liked it. So did I.
Bro, this match was really good. Alicia meddling from the beginning. I'm surprised the ref didn't kick her out. But I was pleasantly surprised that A, ABC did not lose. B, Ace Austin did not turn on Chris Bay. And C, ABC are our new tag team champions. A rough night for the system. I gotta give a big shout out to that frog splash from Bay onto Edwards in the ring, but there was only a two. And that magic killer from ABC, everyone wearing pink, giving homage to the heart. Hearts are loved in Canada, especially Montreal. And then giving shout outs, I feel, to all the other old TNA wrestlers, because we saw a lot of old moves from other wrestlers tonight. And the Magic Killer was just the tip of the iceberg. This was so good. I love it when bad guys lose. And you had it coming, Edward Edwards.
Ace of Bays also took the Magic Killer from Gallows and Anderson after, because they had their last TNA match, their last Impact match. And so they asked Gallows and Anderson, hey, can we take it? And they're like, yeah, it's all yours, brother. So it was good stuff. Jensen, what did you think of this tag team title swap in this match?
I thought this match was great. The crowd, being there live, Joel, like, it seemed like about the last, probably about the last 5 minutes or so of the match, the crowd was like hot. Like, they were really, really into this. It's great seeing the Rascals back together. Talked about this on the spotlight, just, you know, being able to see them back, you know, in together, whether it be in NXT or in TNA, you know, seeing those three guys together is great. Myron Reed, the fourth Rascal, was wrestling on GCW tonight, so he wasn't in the same building, but I'd like to see all four of those guys together. That'd be really cool as well. But yeah, this match was awesome. And I love that. I always forget what they call it, the hot fire, whatever.
Hot fire flame.
Hot fire flame is a Rascals gimmick, though.
That's such a sweet visual move. I love that. I love the energy and the moveset. I like, and I love that No Quarter Catch Crew was involved in this too. I'm a big fan of Charlie Dempsey.
Wait a minute. You just skipped ahead.
You talking about the No Quarter? You talking about the ABC?
I'm sorry. I'm getting two matches mixed together.
You started talking about Byron Reed.
I apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm thinking about the Rascals, and I'm getting the Rascals and ABC mixed up in my head. I'm so sorry, y'all.
Tired, ladies and gentlemen.
It is late, y'all. I'm so sorry. ABC, Chris Austin, Ace Austin, and Chris Bay. They killed it against the system tonight for the TNA World Tag Team Title. I'm so sorry. It is late. But no, this was great. And how many times have we complained about like Eddie Edwards being in like a spot on the show that like we weren't looking forward to because like he'd like main event too often or being like some sort of hardcore match over and over. This was like a great spot for him. Him and Myers, I think, have done a great job as a tag team. So, and Ace Austin and Chris Bay, if they're not going to be in like the world title mix, I'm totally cool with them just continuing to be, you know, TNA tag team champions over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something that I think all three of us have talked about at one point. The system is a perfect team for TNA because they are all hated equally.
Yes.
Nobody sits there and says, I don't like this person, but I like this person, and I really don't like... It's just a collective not liking. They're really good at just being the bad guys that you just don't like. This was a good, solid match. This was the heels, you know, losing their tag titles and the system having their downfall, which people have been calling for since Hard to Kill. There was some really solid stuff in there. By the way, Jensen, you join a very exclusive club, the club where we make up the results of stuff on the spot. Because at one point, I just get completely lost. Because Cresta, you may remember, I actually mapped out the entire Jake something versus Alexander Hammerstone match that never happened during one of our shows.
And you were like, you really had notes and details. I was like, Joel, what were you watching?
It happens. Listen, and we didn't even mention yet with the system, the like super USA regalia gear that all of them were wearing also for like that extra oomph, you know?
I'm sitting there, I'm watching Moose's entrance and I'm like, come on, man, really? Like, bro. I get it. It's Canada and there's the pride. The show opened up with the Canadian national anthem and people were so jazzed about it. But like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, can we stop doing the nationalistic pride bullshit? Like, can we stop this?
I gotta tell you, it's embarrassing as an American. It's like,
dude, Moose looks like if the Undertaker like was the dead man gimmick, but the American badass at the same time. That makes sense.
He was wearing
like the Undertaker gear with like the hat and like the duster, and it was just all USA'd out. Like, oh, this is funny.
It was his Macho Man Apollo Creed gimmick.
Yo, somebody in my Discord said the same thing. Like, why is he dressed like Apollo Creed?
He's the good guy.
Yeah.
Let's move on. So new tag team champions, ABC. Looking forward to where that tag team yeah, great match. Go check it out. The finish was really good. I love that Lish gets involved. Lish gets her comeuppance, and it does lead to the finish. So again, the beginning of the failures of the system. They started at the beginning of the night with JDC getting his ass beat, and then it continued on with the system's Myers and Edward Edwards losing their tag team titles. So again, more threats for the evening. Mike Santana defeats Jake Something. This was so interesting to me. Now, hear me out for a second. I've been saying that Santana is next up, and I do think that Mike Santana is next up for the TNA World Championship. He did his entrance actually right next to us. He was right over one section. I actually posted the short here on youtube.com/Fightful, and so go check that out. There's a vibe and an energy that he gives off when he does that entrance, and he's amongst the people and he's amongst the crowd, and then the way that he works is so good. And Jake Something losing another match, while it's not my favorite thing in the world, you know they're working to have Santana be the next guy up. Problem is, when we get to the world title situation at the end of the night, things got a little bit muddy. But let's talk about Santana and Something for a hot second. Cresta, start us off, please.
Sorry, y'all. Poor Jake Something. Now, we had all predicted, well, I don't know if Steven Jensen predicted, but you and I, Joel, had predicted that Santana was going to win this. And commentary put it over on commentary that this was a must-win situation for either gentleman. This was a stiff-ass match. I got to tell you, the double rolling, but okay, so they both did a double roll, but then Santana recovered with a rolling buck 50. That was so clean. It looked almost like synchronized gymnastics. And I mean that with the utmost respect, and it's a compliment. It was so clean. It was synchronized swimming. It was so clean. I don't know what we do with Jake Something here. I don't think it's the end of the world for him, but I do want to see him in a situation where he is going to be in. I don't know if he wins the world title this year, but have him again kissing the world title scene, because there's going to be, if not Mike Santana, Nemeth is going to need a new dance partner, or eventually Joe Hendry is going to need a new dance partner, or maybe even Josh Alexander is going to need a new dance partner. Somebody, whoever is going to be the next champion after Nemeth, or Nemeth himself, is going to need someone. And if not Mike Santana, Jake Something is a good call, but I don't know what we do with him here. The match itself was amazing. The dives from each one of these guys, the German suplex to Jake Something off the top rope, that, yo, he almost landed on his noodle, bro. This match was good. This match was so, Slammiversary was good. This match was fantastic. Steven Jensen, what did you think of this match?
So I thought this match was great as well. I agree with y'all that Mike Santana is probably one of, if not the next one up for, you know, the world title mix. I love his singles work. I've talked about it in the past that I got to see him do some live matches here in Atlanta, some singles matches, like while he was still with AEW. And I remember thinking, like, man, I always liked Proud and Powerful as a team, but you know, I knew there was something there as a singles as well. And I'm glad he's getting a push. He's getting a show, and not just there, but like in on the indie scene as well, like in House of Glory as well. Mm-hmm. He's doing great stuff. So like so shout out to both these guys. They're both doing great work. And A Shock in the chat actually kind of alluded to something that I was going to bring up when it came to Jake Something specifically. I think the thing he'd benefit from the most is if he could appear on NXT. That would be humongous for him.
Yeah.
Because he is the kind of guy similar to Joe Hendry, with like the type of like look that he has, his size, his athleticism. And he's a young veteran. Like Jake Something's been around a while, but got a lot of experience, and he's been a top level guy for a long time. So like, he's a guy that I think would be really, he could potentially have a really good run in the WWE system, or at least get a lot more exposure over there. So I'd like to see him do that. If he's kind of, you know, he's kind of in no man's land in TNA, and that's not necessarily his fault. It, like Joel said, if Santana's going to be one of the next up, he's got to beat somebody credible. So it's like beating Jake Something means something still, obviously.
Yeah.
But Jake needs to get something going for himself as well.
Yeah, Jake's been in this really weird situation, like you said, where he gets put into something, no pun intended, and then it becomes nothing. Happened with the Diener story, and then, of course, the Hammerstone stuff also messed up whatever trajectory he was on. So it feels like they might go back to Hammerstone just because that match should happen, and that is a very meaty match that people would love to see, myself included. But other than that, it's time to do something, no pun intended. Every time you say his name, it's just... You can't help.
Yeah, I stopped myself from saying that like four times as I was explaining it, and I was like, "Don't say pun intended. Don't say no pun intended," because like it's just so right there.
Just expected. No pun intended.
It's exactly.
That's the other thing. This is something I was thinking about. No pun intended. He's when Jake comes out, he says, "What's my name?" Right? He yells it to the crowd, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if the say his name versus what's my name has been discussed at all, or someone has told him maybe you should pivot. I don't know, but that was just something I noticed tonight because he's still saying it, but I don't think it's impacting anyone's push. I just little
pun
things
intended
that I,
impact.
Yeah, pun. Yeah, impact.
No, that one's intended. That one's always intended on this show. Always intended. Speaking of intentions, the Rascals, they come back. Our little Buzz Lightyear friends are here.
And so good.
Yeah.
They get the win over No Quarter Catch Crew. What was the pin? Was it Tavion who took the pin in this?
Hold on, let me turn my page because I'm a grandma.
I honestly can't remember who took the pin. It wasn't Dempsey. I'm almost positive.
It's never Dempsey because he's going after the Heritage Cup Championship. If it was Tavion Heights, it makes sense because he's going to join the N1 in a couple of weeks.
I don't remember who it was. I didn't write that down. As it turns out, I'm a jabroni.
I thought it would be.
But it was Wentz who made the pin, right? Because he's the one who did the flip when he got pushed by. I always get their names mixed up because it changes depending on what show
Wesley.
Wes.
Do it, Jensen. Call him Dez.
Dez.
Okay.
Chat is saying it was Tavion, and one thing Chat's going to do is correct us. Thank you, Chat.
They're
just affirming my statement. I was right. Tavion Heights ate the pin tonight, which, again, doesn't surprise me. Like I said, he's going off to work the N1 for Pro Wrestling NOAH, which is great. Him and Josh Briggs are going to be heading over to Japan for that tournament. That's good stuff. But let's talk about the match, because these guys went out there. They had a hot crowd. This was a match that... I think a lot of people were looking forward to. It was last minute addition to the card on Thursday. It was expected, but also it was a welcome addition, and it didn't take away too much. It was the emotional story of the night for the NXT TNA stuff, the PCO match that we're going to talk about later. That's a whole different brand of emotion, and Speedball too. That's hometown stuff. But Jensen, start us off. Let's talk about this six-man tag the way you were supposed to when you started.
Yeah. So, this match was fire. I love the Rascals finisher, whatever they call it,
Hot Fire Flame.
Hot Fire Flame. Yeah, it's a sweet move. Myron Reed unfortunately wasn't there because he was in GCW, so he wasn't in the venue. So it'd be cool to see all the Rascals together once again. I think I've caught myself up from everything I said earlier. This match is great. I do, and as I was kind of saying before, I'm a very big fan of Charlie Dempsey. I like the No Quarter Catch Crew. They kind of seem like an extension of the Blackpool Combat Club to me. It's all
low key,
For those of you who don't know, I hosted the Fightful Select, the Fightful Select Weekender podcast for almost 6 years now. And one of the things that I cover pretty much every week is NXT Level Up. So I've gotten to see guys like Dempsey, Bourne, and Tavion really developing from like nothing, no gimmick, no crowd reaction, no moveset, really from scratch in a lot of senses. And Miles Bourne in particular, people might be sleeping on. I think he's going to be a long-term major star for that company. I really do. I think all these guys have a lot of potential. So as I mentioned before, I'm a huge Rascals fan already. It's great seeing those guys together on every show. We can see them together. I like the crossover between all of this. And, this is a very, very solid match. As I mentioned earlier, I thought the crowd seemed really, really hot at the end of this one too. That was a theme throughout the show. Like when the crowd was supposed to react, for the most part, it really felt like entrances and big spots and finishes they got reactions for, and this was no different here. This is great.
Yeah, this before Cressy, you give me your thoughts. I gotta say, with the crowd, one of the best things about sitting in a room with 4,000 people, the most amount of people who have been in a room for a TNA show in easily over a decade, it was really something to experience. And I'm glad that I did, because I had planned to go to Slammiversary, but then when they said, you know, we're going to fill this venue, and I'm like, I don't know if you're going to do it. They certainly found a way, and they found a way to get a crowd that was hot and really bought into most of the things that were going on. I'd say about 95% of the night, they were into it. They were there. I will say that the Santana match, when it started, they were down for that, but they did pick it up again. And like Jensen, like you were saying, they were there when they needed to be. And that always goes a long way when you're trying to tell stories in the ring. Cresta, let's talk Rascals and No Quarter Catch Crew.
Like, you guys really took a lot of the words out of my mouth. I really enjoyed the Buzz Lightyear gear. The match itself was great. I have to give a shout out to Trey Miguel, who was getting his ass beat this match. He got worked, or he's a great seller. So even if he wasn't, I believe he's dying every time. NQCC really did a great job of cutting off the ring. It was a really good tag match. Glad to see the Rascals back together. I always forget that the Rascals is not just those three. There is Myron Reed. So I would like to see a world where Myron Reed is there as well, because we've seen the Rascals with Myron Reed, but not Wesley. And now we've seen the Rascals with Wesley and not Myron Reed. Put the family back together. Baby, come on home. It was a good match.
It feels like there is a world where they will try to do it in TNA. And I'm sure, like, WWE will play ball if it's like, if it makes sense, but it doesn't have to translate over to NXT, they could do it. And we're in a world where WWE is a little more willing to give based on what was expected. And yeah, someone in the chat mentioning Myron was on GCW tonight. He did challenge for the GCW world title against Mance Warner. But meanwhile, Mance Warner's real life flame was having a little fun of her own over on our show. PCO defeats AJ Francis for the Digital Media and Canadian International Heavyweight Championship. They're not going to tell you it's the Canadian one, but it is. Listen, this was the hottest match of the night. This was the most invested fan interacting match of the night.
You're right.
Everything hit, and I had a conversation with AJ recently. And again, I put over his mind for a lot of this stuff is really above a lot of people. I think, and Cresta, you and I have talked about this so much on our show, AJ Francis is underappreciated in a lot of ways. This was one of those times where I'm giving AJ his flowers here, which upsets me because I know he'll love this if anyone shows it to him. He went out and he sold his ass off and he got his heat and he did everything he needed to do. And PCO looked like $1 million in a town that loves him and would do anything for him. This worked. Cresta, you're a big AJ Francis fan. I know you love First Class. You'll be at the party. Let's talk about it.
It's my favorite group. No, honestly, like, the fact that I have to come up here and sing AJ Francis praises makes me a little upset. But I agree with everything you said. No, this match is AJ Francis being a piece of crap heel, and it's fantastic. Much like the system, he is somebody who gets under the skin of everybody. He gets a crowd reaction. Even Rich Swann, who is beloved in TNA, people are like, get away from this guy. He's the worst. He really did make PCO look like $1 million. He made that whole thing. PCO taking that spine shot on the spines of the chairs was disgusting. PCO coming down like Sting. I popped. I did. I was like, it's Sting, but it's not. And who's Destro? Was he beheaded? I was like, is this Father James Mitchell? What is happening? This was the perfect amount of chaos. And also, you sick fuck AJ Francis beating PCO with the chair while inside of that trash can. Disgusting. This was a good match. This was a great match. I have to give First Class their flowers. I hope AJ Francis now goes and bothers somebody else. You know what I mean? I hate to say, but I don't want him to bother PCO no more. Do something else. Like, move up.
Oh, I don't mind saying this because AJ has been very open about this. AJ was politicking his way trying to get Joe Hendry to win the title because not because of the reasons everyone thinks. It's because he wanted to be closer to the world championship story by going with the guy that he made. So, according to him, I'm burying the lead for Jensen because he gets to talk about the person who made that power bomb so special, and that's one Josh Bishop, who showed up tonight for the first time in TNA. Jensen, you've spoken to Bishop on air before. You are well aware of his work. Talk to me about this guy, because there are some people in the audience that may not be familiar with Josh Bishop.
Shout out to the homie Joshua Bishop. I am so happy to see the success of this guy in any way, shape, or form. He's most recently been making some MLW appearances that maybe, you know, where some of y'all may have seen him as a part of the WTF stable. But I mean, I'm looking at his cage match right now. I just wanted to see how far back. So the first time I saw him wrestle live was at Southern Underground Pro. This was in, it looks like, I think August of 2017. It was his fourth match ever. And I remember talking to him that day. I've followed his career ever since. I've talked to him many times. I'm a very big fan of his. So I've been saying for years, I think that he's going to be a household name in wrestling, whether it's WWE, AEW. And I've always said if he can show up on TNA, that'd be his fastest route to, like, it'd be his quickest road to potentially, like, you know, main event level on, you know, in like a larger company than kind of what he's been doing. He's been great on the indie scene for a long time. Places like AIW, Black Label Pro, I mean, really all over the place. So if you're just now seeing Josh Bishop for the first time, you're in for a treat. The guy he's most compared to the most often is Sid Vicious. People talk about all the time. But he's similar to Sid Vicious in certain ways, but he's a lot more athletic and the guy can move. I'm a huge fan. So I'm very happy to see what he did tonight. I mean, the way he put up PCO, you know, gave him that trip to 187, hit him with the Bishop bomb. Basically it's a cross between the Outsider's Edge and a Jackknife power bomb. So hit it with that chair, you know, open. So yeah, very, very cool to see. And massive props, as you said, to AJ Francis, who, you know, I remember just watching him on like that WWE Hidden Treasure show and being like, this guy's pretty good as a host. You know what I mean? Then like, really, like, he's a big dude and, you know, he's got an NFL background. I really respect that. I'm a big NFL fan. And to see him kind of go from like, you know, unsure of kind of, you know, his run in WWE was very strange, right? He did the things I just mentioned. His main roster run was very brief. And I think the way that he's rebounded has been fantastic. I think he's doing great work in TNA. And PCO, the reaction he got on his entrance seemed pretty massive from home.
Insane.
I mean, good on him. One of y'all, I think maybe Cressa just a moment ago, was talking about people looking like they were going out there and like getting killed during matches and stuff. I think every time PCO does a move, he's going to die. Every time. It doesn't matter what true. It is. I'm like, this is the last bump. This is the last bump. And what's so cool about what he's doing, he's so smart because he knows what his own limitations are. So what he's doing is he's going out there and essentially being like, all right, just be in this spot and wait and be in this spot and move. And he's just going up to the top and either hitting you or he isn't. He's going to massively crash or burn, or he's going to hit a super impressive moonsault, or he's going to jump to the outside, or he's going to crash through something. And it's so entertaining. It's totally works. He continues to stay over. So I can't say enough good things about both these guys. Like, you know, good stuff.
This is so funny to me because we sit here and we watch PCO frequently. And every time he's given a shot, the conversation is very similar. It's, oh my God, not 50-something PCO again. Oh my God, anyone but him. And then guess what happens? He delivers, and right. Everyone's like, oh, damn, PCO is so amazing. And that's what happened tonight. Not that everyone was like, oh my God, you know, forget this guy. It was a digital media championship. It's at one time they called it the pre-show championship, and it's changed. You know, it's not the world title, but it was given a little bit more of a push over the last little bit through this story. And for PCO to have the moment in front of his hometown, and I can tell you there were a ton of PCO shirts in that crowd. There were a ton of people in that crowd talking about PCO. They followed his career. He has such an amount of respect in Montreal for his accomplishments that, you know, it was really an interesting story of two different age groups cheering for their local heroes. You have PCO, who, like we said, he's in his 50s. And then you have Speedball Mike Bailey, who is the generation, really two generations of wrestler below PCO's age group. And those people came out too. And some of them are workers themselves. There is such a really cool dynamic that gets into that play. But for PCO, that was a huge moment for him. We got a super chat from Speedpunk saying the whole show ruled, not one slow moment, but PCO's entrance was really cool. Bet it was even cooler to see live. I was lucky enough to be sitting between the stage and the ring in a really good spot opposite the hard camera, which I hate, by the way. I want to be with the hard camera. Otherwise, I'm looking at people's butts all night. Anyway, I digress. They do the PCO intro and they lower the body bag from the ring. And I'm like, oh, that's really neat. I don't think it's actually a body in that bag, but it's nice they're doing it. And then I see them like squeeze at it and I'm like, oh, it's very clearly pillows. So the resurrection, the whole thing, I had been told it was going to be a very like crazy and busy entrance. I'm not surprised they did it, but they did a very good job with it. And live, guess what? Everybody ate it up. It was a fun match. They really got everyone in it. And the second it became a hardcore match, a street fight, when they announced that, I said, oh, this is going to be the match of the night for a lot of people because it's plunder and it works. Easy peasy.
Dude, you're guaranteed one of these every single TNA pay-per-view. Because it's either going to be PCO or a combination of him and like Eddie Edwards or Sammy Callahan. You're always guaranteed, you're guaranteed at least one of these. And they delivered on this one. Also, this was the match where Rhino randomly came back, right?
So Rhino and AJ had a thing. This was their kind of way of like wrapping up some of AJ's digital media feuds. Yeah, the Rhino thing didn't hit with me, but I think this is one of those I'm willing to let it go because let's get into the real main event of this whole story. After the match, Steph DeLander comes out as PCO is celebrating. She gets on one knee and she says, PCO, will you marry me? Now, let's go back to what I said about Kushida. On my chair when I sat down tonight was an invitation, Steven Jensen, an invitation to the wedding of PCO and Steph DeLander happening tomorrow night at the TV tapings. I took that piece of paper and I took a photo and I tagged Cresta and I tagged Jeremy Lambert because Jeremy and I interviewed Steph DeLander this past week over on In the Weeds on Fightful Overbook. Go check that out. That's our morning show. And we asked Steph about wrestling weddings because Cresta, you know that we've been talking about it for a while and I've been calling this for a while and now I'm doing it.
You're Miss Cleo. You're a psychic.
We knew it was coming. Steven Jensen, wrestling weddings are back, and I know you're excited.
I literally was like, oh, when they announced that. Listen, I think it's kind of funny because when you think about it this way, and this is me thinking too far into it, y'all, so please don't hate on me for thinking this way, but okay. A couple matches later, I'm going to foreshadow a little bit, Speedball's match against Mustafa Ali. Beta Scott's there in the front row. Now, you guys have to fill me in. Have they used Beta at all on TNA? Okay, I didn't think so. Just wanted to double check. So
they did show Beta throughout Speedball's media appearances. She's just been part of it, but not directly, in the show.
I just kind of feel like the same portion of your audience that knows Veda Scott and knows the relationship between Veda and Speedball would be the same audience that would know that Seth DeLander and Mance Warner are together. You know what I mean? So it's kind of just strange because
they're willing to put it on the back burner and play along.
Well, and is there any chance that Mance actually appears at Impact? Because I mean, if they want to do that, that could be kind of where I'm thinking too, that's kind of what I was getting at do we know? Do they know that we know? And Mance is going to come and try to take out PCO.
Well, Jensen, did you watch GCW tonight?
I did. Well, I was back and forth in this. Yeah.
I haven't seen it. What did Matt Cardona do tonight?
I don't know what I saw he came out and he was on the microphone, but I had the volume on for TNA. I just know that because it was it Megan Bain and Mance tonight?
Wasn't it Myron and Mance?
Was that last night, Myron and Mance? I'm getting my days mixed up.
It was last night. I know it's 3 nights and there's been travel issues.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, with Cardona, really the crux of my conversation here is, did anyone get physical with Matt Cardona tonight?
I did not see. I honestly didn't see.
Maybe keep an eye out. We'll see where Matt Cardona lands tomorrow, if he's stateside or if he's across the border.
Matt
Cardona is Steph DeLander's boyfriend.
In TNA, Cardona brought DeLander, or they brought each other in.
Right.
But I could see that they pull the, does anybody have any objections as to why these two should not be joined together in holy matrimony? Always ready. And out comes Matt Cardona and they do the, I object. And Steph turns on at PCO and then we go back to Cardona and PCO, which is what we were supposed to get back in March, February, before Cardona hurt himself or got hurt.
I could see that would actually make perfect sense if that's what wound up happening.
Last night was Hoodfoot and Mance, according to the chat.
It was. Okay.
I could still see Mance Warner.
Was it Mance?
No, it's not Mance. Who's Steph DeLander's husband boyfriend again?
Mance Warner.
Oh, it was Mance. I could still see it happening. You could have both of them show up. I mean, if this was a different time, Chelsea Green might even show up for the memes. You know what I mean?
I don't think Mance is TNA made. Just yet.
Okay.
And that's not a shot at Mance. I think it's more just the presentation of what they're doing with the story. Mance can be hokey, but Mance isn't presenting hokey right now.
Okay, that's
fair. By the way, it was Mance and Myron on the show that that Sean wrestled on Thursday. And then it was Mance and Hoodfoot last night, and then Mance and Megan Bain tonight.
Mance is out here wrestling tonight. This weekend.
As he should be. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. You want to
finish that up? Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, just for example, like, I know, like, one called Manders, like, just to give y'all an idea of his workload. He wrestled GCW Thursday. He wrestled GCW Friday. He wrestled GCW tonight. That was in Louisville and then in Illinois and then Indianapolis. And then he's going to be in Georgia at the show I'm going to be at tomorrow night wrestling. I mean, just that's the life of these indie workers. I mean, you got to respect it. Yeah,
I respect the crap out of wrestlers.
Yeah, folks, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. We're heading down to the last three matches of the night. These ones are the ones that are the beefiest to talk about.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's start with the Knockouts World Championship. Jordynne Grace defends successfully against Ash by Elegance. Rosemary was sitting in the crowd one section over from me, and I didn't realize until she started walking down. What was even weirder was that we all thought it was Tatum Paxley for a minute. So, but then she produced the Shiv and the short hair, and I was like, oh, okay, no, Rosemary's here. And they kind of teased it on Impact where she was behind Iceman and blah, blah, blah. So regardless, this match, okay. I don't want to talk first. So, Cresta, I want you to
That's crazy.
Me.
All right.
I have a lot of feelings about this, and I don't want to go crazy just yet. So I'm letting you start, please.
That's crazy. I'll stand in the line of fire for you, baby. Let me sit up real quick.
Well, you liked everything tonight, so clearly I got to start with you.
All right. Well, I did say that. I did say I was sports entertained. I'll start with what I did like, all right? Yeah. Now, I have been down on Ash by Elegance for quite her entire run. And my complaint and my critique is that how are you going to wrestle serious after the after the bell is rung? The time to do that is in the ring during the time. Now, I think tonight she wrestled her ass off. I think we got a good match out of Ash by Elegance. And I think between selling and her just doing her moves, she did a phenomenal job. And I'm not taking anything away from her. That being said, this match for me, to me, and this is just my opinion, please don't cook me, people. Please don't beat me up, wrestling people. This match overstayed its welcome. I do think that Grace not squashing her with no build was different. However, I do respect the gusto with wanting to put on a good match with Ash by Elegance. I just wish we got more matches like this from Ash so it didn't feel like the crowd had chanted, Ash, Jordan's gonna kill you. And then when I didn't get her just squashing her, I felt like I was set up for disappointment no matter what you did. And I don't think that's fair to Ash. That being said, I'm very glad, Jordan Grace won. And that is my two cents. Joel Pearl, you're not gonna get me. Steven Jensen, what do you want?
No, I honestly, like, I don't think that's a bad take. I'll say this. I legitimately think that this is the best Ash / Dana Brooke match I've probably ever seen in her career. Jordan deserves credit for that for sure, but like, so does Ash. You know, like, you know, the upside to this was there was a few times where they actually made me think that Ash was about to win. And that's really the best they could have possibly done in this situation, because mm-hmm. I'm going into this thinking there's no way Jordan's losing. I mean, especially with how often they're using her on NXT. And, you know, I've been saying for years right here with you guys over and over again for years, you know, Jordan Grace should be the TNA world champion at this point. Like, not, I don't want to say just knockouts, but I say just knockouts because she's held this title multiple times over and over. And now it's like with what she's done in the WWE. And I just feel like with all the eyes on her and how talented she is, and in a company where they'll do men versus women and whatever, you know, just, I was thinking if she loses this match, the only thing I could see after that would be her full-time WWE or moving up to the main world title. But I was like, I don't really see any of those things happening like immediately. So I just assumed she was going to retain. I think that's what most people thought. So I want to give Ash her credit, because there were a few times in this match, she had like some nice, you know, sliced breads and some stuff off the ropes and stuff. And I was like, okay, this is solid. Like, this is the best match of hers I've seen. And this is a bit of a roast, but it's the truth. I remember Dana Brooke. I remember when she got signed by the WWE. They went to like the Arnold Classic, and I remember them like highlighting her because they found her. She was like a bodybuilder or a gymnast, or like maybe, you know, she had like an athletic background, but they were like really trying to mold her into becoming a wrestler. And I just felt like she just never really clicked. Like, she was there for quite a while and never really clicked. But tonight, I thought she hung in there with, to her credit, one of the best wrestlers in the world in Jordan Grace. So I didn't think this was bad. You know, I really didn't have a problem with it. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, how did you feel, Joel? I feel like you have like some real thoughts on this.
So I want to preface this with, I am not at all taking away from either competitor in this match. My gripe has been and continues to be with how it was booked and the decisions that were made to get here.
Uh-huh. Oh, sure.
Do not agree that this match should have been as long as it was. I think, well, Cresta said it, overstayed its welcome. I know that on our post show, we talked about the idea of a squash and it leads to something else. And the reason why we did this, why we talked about this, is because Ash's presentation since she came to TNA has been beating either enhancement talent or low card wrestlers. Only recently, and that was in the Jordynne Grace video on Thursday, did they highlight that Ash had a mean streak once upon a time and beat up Jessica Havoc. And the only reason they're doing that now is to motivate the story that they're about to start with Rosemary, because Rosemary chased off Iceman. Sorry, he does have a name, the personal concierge. His name is Iceman.
By the way, Joel, you need to know this real quick, because you wouldn't have known this because you were there live on screen. They showed her in the crowd. They were literally like, is that her? And then like within seconds, she started walking out of the ring.
I was there. I was literally next to them.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it wasn't like it was foreshadowed like well in advance, or like they barely mentioned it. Was literally like, oh, is that her? And then within seconds, she was a part of the match. Like, they could have, like, you know what I mean?
It was no breaks, like you said, no breaks.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah, because we're just sitting there, and I saw that the hard camera, or I saw a bunch of camera people pointing towards our section, and I'm like, oh, there's someone who's going to do something.
Sorry about that.
Wow, welcome back. Anyway, I saw that they were trying to point out some shot that they were setting up, and then I saw the hooded figure, and then she got up immediately after they showed her on the camera, and I'm like, oh, this is fast. So yeah, then she went down and they chased him off. So the point I was trying to make here was that the first mean streak, and the only mean streak that Ash has had on television, was the Havoc beatdown. So now they're gonna bring back Havoc after they do the Rosemary thing, and like it's making sense, but the way that we're getting here was awful. We knew that they were on a collision course, where Ash and Jordynne Grace. This match did not need to be as long as it was. I say again, it also failed in the booking, because as we've talked about before, Ash was nowhere to be found for the last 3 weeks on the program. They announced the match, said it was happening, signed the contract, and then the story they went with was now she's going to go on vacation, and they did nothing with that, because at the time we talked about it on our post show, Ash was going along with like Nick Nemeth and a couple others to Australia for a tour that they had booked during their Philadelphia TNA tapings. Why don't you pivot at that point is my only question. And I have the same feelings with Nick Nemeth, because when we talk about the main event, there are again more feelings that will come up and we'll discuss. But with the Ash stuff, a lot of this just made no sense for anyone who follows the product week to week and was wondering how we got here and why we're still here. They're moving on. Clearly, Jordynne gets the win. She retains it, but it went too long. The crowd wasn't into it because they had just seen all the stuff with PCO and every piece that came with that. And now at this point, we're getting into the start of there's a gimmick finish to every match. So the last four matches, there was some sort of weird, screwy, gimmicky finish that really didn't necessarily need to take over each match. And this was one of those, with Rosemary coming in, right? And so it's just weird. It was weird, and it wasn't a good fit for a strong knockouts world champion who has strong championship defenses with a good story coming in. They didn't have that. They had the match, and like Steven Jensen said, very good match for Ash by Elegance, formerly Dana Brooke. And I'll tell you this story. I was told years ago that this was a woman who would spend her off days going to the PC, setting up rings, trying to learn, doing the work. And did it always click? No, but she wanted so badly to be better at her job. And I can't not respect that. And I do. Sure. And as
she
a result,
she did a Canadian Destroyer tonight.
And that's the thing. Like, she had some really solid offense and a really good storytelling match. It just didn't make sense. The way they told the story of the match didn't make sense with the way that they built to the match. It just didn't work. Other than that, it was just a solid one-on-one match that didn't need to happen the way it did.
Yeah, and one last thing. I agree with all that, by the way. And one last thing I just want to mention before we move on. AO Productions in the chat mentions, because he's talking about me with the idea of Jordynne Grace becoming the world champion potentially, says, I don't think TNA wants to do intergender world champ again. The Tessa stuff left a black mark. And I feel like that's even more reason to go all the way with Jordynne. Like, I feel like because that actually eliminates that whole conversation. You know, I appreciate the comment because I think that it's a fair point, but I think that that comment wouldn't even be made because people would just think Grace, women world champion Jordynne Grace. You know, like, mm-hmm. they wouldn't think of Tessa Blanchard, really. You know, so I just want to throw that out there too, maybe to look at it the other way around. And I think it's a smart idea to do it actually. So
yeah. I'm going to piggyback off of you, because I've always said this too about when they had Deanna Purrazzo as well. Those either one sure. of those women are standard bearers for the knockouts division, even a Gail Kim, but I know she's retired or retired-ish, you know? So I think that it'd be a great way to, whenever we bring it up, because I do think it was unprecedented for them to have it on Tessa, but I think it'd be even better for us to always never have to bring it up and like, oh, but Grace had it, but Purrazzo had right. it, you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, and with the right push, Marsha Slamovich has the talent.
Yeah, well. Agreed.
You know, like there are women that could do it for sure.
I think with the right storyline, you could do with almost anyone. I would even see the Steels stealing it. I'd be honest with you.
I mean, with the right push and the right stories, I mean, they got a hell of a roster of women in TNA. So, I mean, and they're not, once again, they're the most likely of any of these mainstream companies. They're the most likely to do something like that. Yeah. They at least dabble with intergender wrestling, you know, a lot more in comparison to what we would normally see in the mainstream. Anyway, we can move on.
Yes, we can. Let's move on to the X Division Championship match. Speedball Mike Bailey captures the X Division Championship for Mustafa Ali. This match, again, bells and whistles, hot crowd. People were into this thing. At one point, I was sitting in the crowd with the boys from Love Wrestling. Shout out to them. And I turned to them and I said, we should probably be watching the guys in the riot gear because they're the ones who are covered up and everyone else is not. And that would come into play in later the match as Trent Seven comes in and he makes his presence known, helps his buddy Speedball, his tag team partner, capture the victory. But the real person who showed up, as reported by Fightful Select, former Impact Wrestling referee, that's right, we're using him, Earl Hebner was there. Now, what's really funny about this is so Earl Hebner was coming down and he was spotted at the Talent Hotel today, and they brought him to the show. I believe he was kind of kept under wraps or whatever, and then it was reported that he was in town and people figured it out. Now, before anyone tried to give us shit about, you know, being the spoilers, let me tell you the first thing that I saw when I walked in to the venue tonight, once again leading with the TNA spoils it for me instead. If you've ever been to a TNA show, you can purchase VIP meet and greets. And the VIP meet and greets for the next night were on a board, and there's different tiers, and they list who you can get in each tier. Guess who was on the most expensive tier at the bottom of the list, Cresta? Just take one wild, total wild guess.
I'll take Earl Hebner for $400.
Oh my God, Earl Hebner was absolutely that person that you could see, and the show hadn't even started yet. So
that's funny.
Damn, Joel.
So ain't nobody telling me that we ruin anything for anybody, okay? Best $5 in the business, because we get the scoops. They just did it to themselves afterwards.
They anyway, gave it for free.
The point being, as reported so by Bible funny. Select, Earl Hebner was there. He comes in. They're doing, again, Ali coming out in the pink, doing his best Bret Hart impression. He's the baby face in his story. Brings out Earl Hebner. Earl Hebner gets his big redemption story arc in that he doesn't want to recreate the Montreal screw job, and he doesn't want to be here, and he hates getting booed. He's just so conflicted. And eventually he helps Speedball Mike Bailey capture the X Division Championship. It's a big moment. Speedball took to Twitter afterwards and was so happy about being part of a redemption story for Earl. God bless. I don't know who to start with, so who wants to get in on this? There were some
Steven
fantastic
Jensen.
Moments. Great moments in this match. A lot of really fun stuff. So, Jensen, let's get it.
Well, first I'll say this. I mean, the match itself was pretty awesome, and it could have ended if that false finish wouldn't have happened, like before all the Earl Hebner stuff. I think it would have been pretty much a perfect match, honestly, like just a back and forth competitive one-on-one contest between two of the best in-ring wrestlers in the world with a clean finish. Like, I would have been totally down for that. But, you know, we did get all the extra stuff. I get what they tried to do with the whole redemption of Earl Hebner in a different company. How many years later? I mean, we're talking about what's almost 30 years now. It was 97.
Which, by the way, they ran this story in Impact as well. They did a Hebner storyline with them. So like, this is just a rehash of a rehash of a rehash.
Yeah. It's just weird.
It's like, can we just move on? Like, God forbid. Earl Hebner wasn't looking great either. I'm not going to lie. Like he looked like he was a hard time kind of moving around out there at the end of the match. I don't know exactly what happened because I couldn't rewind it, but like, I think Speedball might've kicked a chair right into his leg or something because like, he was already hobbling around. And then like, it looked like he like actually took a real bump there at the end.
He did. It was a big accident, but yeah, it was.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously like, I don't want him to get hurt out there. It's not like, I'm not trying to like make fun of the dude. It's just like, all right, like, can we just put a bow on the whole Montreal Screwjob thing now? I mean, and how many times are we going to see a Canadian wrestler win with the sharpshooter? I get it. But I've seen this kind of thing a trillion times at this point. But I will also say this. I love Speedball. I love Ollie. I thought the actual match was great. I could have just done it without a lot of the overbooked stuff at the end. But I also thought it was cool how they tied in the stuff with Trent Seven. And he was a part of like the masked guys, and like they tried to attack him, and Campaign Singh, you know, got involved. Like, you know, Bailey was able to fight off all the other goons, but then like Campaign was able to hit him with the belt. I mean, so there was like, there was some good stuff in the overbooking of it, but if it was up to me, it would have just ended after that Ultimate Weapon 1-2-3 would never been put on the ropes and just Speedball would have won. But either way, he still got, you know, the big moment in front of the crowd. And also, listen, at the end of the day, if Speedball is happy and he's proud that he got to help be a part of that moment along with Earl Hebner, then more power to him. Like, I'm happy. I'm happy he has that moment. I'm happy Earl has that moment. But please, like, I was a fan in 97. I remember when the screw job happened. It was so long ago. Like, let's please move on from this.
Listen, Speedball spent a lot of that match going over to his wife. Shout out Veda Scott. You're wonderful. And making out with her. Good for them. Love is love. However, why didn't he make out with Earl Hebner afterwards?
Maybe he didn't want to disrespect his wife. Cheating is cheating.
Cresta Starr, your turn for this whole thing.
I will agree with Steven Jensen that the Montreal Screwjob thing, just because we're in Montreal doesn't mean you got to do a Montreal Screwjob. Like, it's every company almost every time we go, please stop. I humbly request we stop. Also, if we go back to what I said about the pre-show with that ref being a paid actor, when I saw him in the Ali, I was like, oh, shenanigans, because you were shenaniganing it up. So him taking a bump was par for the course. Par for the course. This match was stiff. The Ultimate Weapon missed. The first one was gnarly. Yeah. The second one was gross. And having Speedball pin Ali to have his foot be on the ropes, I like that. I was like, hey, I'd be pissed too, but you did that. You did that, Speedball. You didn't pay attention to where Ali was. Trent Seven being in the riot gear, I wasn't mad about it. Maybe I was stupid, but I was sports entertained by him taking off like his meal all along, Austin. I was living for it. So, Speedball went in his hometown. That last Ultimate Weapon was gnarly, even after the knees. And then the sharpshooter again. I don't mind the sharpshooter as much as Jensen does, but I do agree that just because we're in Canada, just because we're in Montreal, doesn't mean you got to wear the pink and do the sharpshooter. I'm sure the hearts are like, yes, yes, I should charge a commission fee, but yes, that's gimmick infringement, brother. It was a good match. I'm happy Speedball won. I think it was the right choice. I don't know if we do a run back, but I think Ali in the main event scene, not mad at that either.
He tweeted thank you after the show also. So I don't know if that means like, thank you, like I'm leaving, or thank you, that was a good run with the title, or what that thank you exactly.
So we'll talk about that in a minute, but
okay.
After the show, he was announced for a match. So okay, Ali cool. is definitely working tomorrow night's shows. After that, that's I guess maybe up to him or up to whatever him and TNA are working on. Yeah, this match was fun. It was different. This was the one thing that I really appreciated is that Ali has been working a much more story-based style. And it's not about all the moves. And I think that's really beneficial for him because any good athletic wrestler can be a really good athletic wrestler. But I talk about this on In the Weeds frequently. If you're someone who's telling a compelling story with your character, that will go so much further in so many different ways. And Ali has all the moves. He always has. And so does Speedball. This was one of those matches where both of them took chances in a character development stand, and it worked for the most part. I agree. You don't need to rely on the Montreal Old Faithfuls. You don't need to bring in Earl Hebner. You don't need to do the Montreal stuff. You don't need to wear pink after Bret Hart. You don't need to have the system wearing, you know, USA colors, just because that's been the theme of the night. But they tried to do something different with a story of characters. And that's been the Ali character as well. It's been built as an actual person that you are going to hate. And that was really good. And to see that story move past the X Division, I'm ready for it. And I'm interested in Speedball's next steps as a character who now has the X Division championship once again. Is he more motivated?
I was gonna say, I don't know if you know this because you were there live, but like they did show Veda multiple times during the match, like camera right on, or like they're making it clear they're together, like to the home audience too. So like, I mean, I could see her being a part of, you know, maybe his act, you know, on TV to add to his character too, maybe. I mean, they made it clear they're together. So
yeah, this is really one of the first times where Speedball has been humanized and not just seen as this great wrestler guy. And that's something that I've been advocating for a long time, both on pre-shows and even or on post-shows. And also in an interview that I did with Speedball after Hard to Kill, we talked about the characters and trying to be more personable or anything like that. Go watch that interview. We do get into it a little bit about like presentation. And I do like that TNA is potentially going to take that chance and start presenting Speedball as a human character and not just a wrestler who's really friggin' good at wrestling. So we'll see. Again, happy for both men. I think everyone played their part really well. I was told that they were really working hard on getting their match right the night before. So they did everyone proud. We'll let that.
Yeah, that's not cool.
It was a great, yeah. And I think a lot of people were expecting something akin to like Ospreay's matches in TNA. I think some people were expecting it to be a very high work rate, doing all the moves type of match. And that's not a slight of Will Ospreay. It's just when you see an Ospreay match, you have certain expectations as to how the story of the match will happen. This one had more breathing and more moments, whereas with Ospreay, there's a lot of like really flashy offense and things that, you know, get you out of your chair, like, oh my god, did they just do this feat of athleticism? I think people were expecting that and they got something different, and some loved it and some are going to be like kind of perplexed. So we'll see where the X Division continues to lead us. Let's talk about the World Championship, shall we? Get your Humper chats in, get your super chats in. All right, before I tee it up, Tim McFall says, I just got home. Fun show live. Can attest. I can't agree. My first time seeing ABC or Ace of Bay in person. I'm in love. Oh, good. Bayley and Ali killed it. Match of the year candidate. So there's someone who liked it. And they need to stop pushing Ash by Elegant. She's not main event level. Damn. All right. The main event was fun, but a missed opportunity with Joe Henry. Mm-hmm. Nick Nemeth is your new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. A lot of people feel a lot of different ways about this. Cresta, I'm going to start by saying I was right, but also we took a very long way to get there. Because if you remember, at one point you and I sat here and said, at Slammiversary, I think it's going to be Moose versus Nick Nemeth 2, and Nick Nemeth is going to win the world championship at Slammiversary. And everyone looked at me cockeyed.
We did.
And it turns out I was right, but I was also 4 man short of my prediction. So we also had the rise of Joe Henry in that time. And this is you're going to see a lot of different conversations from a lot of different people who follow different wrestling brands at different points. And this is not a knock on anyone, but this is very much the TNA is going to move the TNA stories that TNA is building without necessarily having the partnership with NXT change their plans for the most part. Joe Henry's been on the rise. Joe Henry is very popular. I posted his entrance from tonight, and that was insane. 4,000 people singing the song from the get-go. He got to pin Moose and lead us to the idea of a new champion, and it got everyone bought in that it could be Joe Hendry going all the way. Not the case. There's another few stories at play. Nemeth ends up getting the win. There was a lot going on here, so who wants to start? Because there's a lot of threads we're going to pull at here.
I mean, it's tough because, like, with all the eliminations and stuff and all the storylines kind of intertwining here, like, where do you want to start at? Kind of like the first elimination? Because, like, Macklin got eliminated pretty early on, so he wasn't much of a factor.
But... Okay, so let me put this over. Let me put over the I think that the orders of elimination were done incredibly well.
I agree with that as well.
They did a great thing at the beginning. In the first bit of this match, everyone came in and got their shine. By the way, shout out to Moose, who literally broke up every offensive maneuver with the big boot. Go back, watch the match. We kept saying, big boot! And then Moose would come in and hit a big boot on someone, and we'd start, restart, whatever. But everyone got their moment. Everyone got their shine at one point. Kazarian did the flying cutters to everybody. Macklin did the spear, the tag and bag and mayhem for all on everybody, did a scud. And Macklin was doing so much towards the end of his time in the match that he looked good despite being the first one to take the pinfall. So he loses nothing by being the first guy out.
Agreed.
He was about to hit his, what's he call his death rider?
Like the KIA.
He was about to hit that on, I think, Kazarian. So, like, he was in a position where he was about to probably get an elimination, but Moose came out of nowhere and speared him. That's so, like, to your point, yeah, like, I mean, he was in a good spot and kind of got beat on almost like a flash knockout.
Yeah, and then next up was Moose, right? He was out second. And for Moose to go out that early, it added to the intrigue. Who could it be? Because Joe Hendry gets the pin, and a lot of people have been speculating that maybe they'll call the audible and have Joe win and everything's going to be different. Joe works with TNA or Joe has the TNA championship and maybe goes to NXT. That was a good thing to start building to by having him get Moose out so early after Moose had also shown his fire as well. Then it gets interesting because the next guy out is Joe Hendry. And that, to a lot of people, sucked the air out of the sails of the crowd. And to a certain degree, it did. But here's how you get it back. You have Josh Alexander, who is not only in Canada, but a TNA stalwart who has been the most staunch pro-TNA, TNA guy for the last 5 years. You have him go heel. And we haven't seen a vicious Josh Alexander singles run yet. I saw this coming. I will tell you guys this. A couple of weeks ago,
I was gobsmacked.
Well, they basically tested it out. He tested it out. There's a local independent here called Northern Crown. It's relatively new in Toronto. And at the show, he ended up turning heel at the end of the night. And it was told to me, you know, this could be something. Keep an eye on it. And that's what they did. That was the test run for a heel turn. And they did a great job of him. He took out Joe Hendry. He pinned Joe Hendry. Then Josh Alexander continued to beat up Joe Hendry. You did a good job by taking away the heat of Joe Hendry's going to beat everyone and win the title. But also, we're going to get a new champion. And now Josh Alexander's got a mean streak. So they've made you change your mind right away. So it was really very smart booking. And then they do the whole thing. This is even more, again, I'm running through the whole match. I'm sorry if I'm taking anyone's heat away. But then they go into the back and forth with Nemeth and Josh Alexander. And now it's just a one-on-one match because at one point Kazarian was taken out of the match with the table. That Nemeth put him through. So at this point, if you're watching, you kind of figured it out. You kind of put two and two together. Josh is turning heel. Everyone else doesn't make sense because it's a weird finish with the math. So Nemeth gets the upper hand on Alexander eventually after the two go back and forth for a while. They're working on the arm. You know, Nemeth is talking about having a partially torn pec and he's injured, but he's still cleared. So he's in. Then he gets the pin on Josh Alexander. He hits did he hit the knickknack or did he hit something else? What was it?
He did hit the danger zone. And then Nemeth wins, and we have a new TNA World Champion.
Oh no, I'm talking
that about was at the very Alexander. End. Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think he hit it until the very end of the match. I think the rest of it was super kicks.
Yeah, so I think it was a super kick. It was a big super kick to take out Josh Alexander. So that worked. Now at this point, everyone's like, ah, shit, Kazarian's got to come back. And then he rushes into the match. They do a quick little, you know, 3-4 minute thing. Ends with knick-knack, paddywhack, Nick Nemeth wins the title. And that's fine. It is what it is. At that point, it was like, they did a really good job because so many people were so excited for the idea of Joe Hendry that by the end of it, Nick Nemeth, who, by the way, had the second loudest pop of the six men who were in the match, which surprised me because I didn't think people were still as bought into Nick Nemeth. I'm wrong. He wins the title. He hoists it high. He's going to be the new guy for TNA for the next little while. This was, again, you can question the outcome, and I understand why you might, but if you've been watching TNA, it's kind of made sense. They just took a really weird way to get there. With all this in mind, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Cresta.
I'm going to be real with you. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Joe Hendry coming out first, I thought was fantastic. That really gave me hope that Joe Hendry was going to win. I'm like, oh, they really give him the megastar treatment. Steve Macklin looked great in the couple of moments he was in. He got screwed. Kaz passing away, I said, oh, so you're going to be make it to the end. And whoever wins is going to pin you. I completely agree with you with Josh Alexander turning heel on Moose. Because in that chaotic 7 minutes, I was like, holy hell, they're actually going to do it with Joe Hendry. Because now we're guaranteed a new champion no matter what. And I rarely see that. I popped big for that, like a pimple. I'm like, this is fantastic. But then Josh Alexander going heel, at first I was mad. And then I was like, he's the only one who could have did that. Because everybody else would have, they would have been pissed. If Kazarian would have did that, we already hate you, Kazarian. I don't want to hate you more. Josh Alexander going heel? I've never seen Josh Alexander heel. I don't even think he was heel in the North, bro. I'm so excited for this. But also at the same time, you're pinning Joe Hendry? Josh Alexander, you son of a bitch. You son of a gun. Like, that was crazy. I thought at that point, Josh Alexander was going to win. And I would be okay with that because at that point, it's like, okay, F you guys. I told you I was going to win again. And I don't want to lose because I lost my title because I was injured. Nick Nemeth winning, not mad at it. I feel like we had to go back to where we were and he was going to get it. And much like Becky Lynch, when she became the man, Joe Hendry has said, I will not be denied. And I think that's perfect. It's fantastic. But Nemeth was here before you. No shade. I got to pass it first. You will eventually, maybe by the end of this year. But I think the program between Joe Hendry and Alexander is going to give him that legitimacy that you and I have been talking about,
yes,
Joel.
This is
really going to do it. And Alexander's going to kick his ass. Alexander's going to beat Joe Hendry's ass. And I don't want to see that. But I think it has to happen for us to take him seriously. I'm coming off of my soapbox. I'm sorry.
Jensen, you're up.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree with pretty much everything y'all are both saying. Like, I thought that Hendry's his entrance was great. That the reaction, I mean, I know Crest has been high on Joe Hendry for a very long time.
Love
and
Joe,
you know, I've been on that bandwagon for a while as well. I've brought it up many times, but there was a show that I don't know if it was Bound for Glory or Slammiversary or what, but like a couple of years ago, Joe Hendry and Moose had a match, I think for the Digital Media Championship. And I remember thinking that night, like, and Joe Hendry is a lot better than people are giving credit for. Like, him and Moose just had a banger. And like, I'm not used to saying that about like either guy, and like they did it together. I was like, this is, I could definitely see more in his future, you know, for sure. And especially in the WWE system, I think he clicks really, really well with that audience. So I was going into this match, I figured they just go with kind of the obvious and go all the way with Joe Hendry. I figured that was just the move, you know, but then as things started playing out, he started doing kind of process of elimination. And, you know, so we get into the match and as we were talking, you know, Macklin gets eliminated early, that spear from Moose. After Kazarian got super kicked off the stage into that table, it was in the back of my mind as well. I was like, we haven't seen him in a while. He'll probably pop up at the end, like we've seen so many times in like Royal Rumbles and stuff, where, you know, somebody's down on the floor and tries to slide in at the very end or something like that. But one thing that took me out of like the very end of the match, and I'm going to be all over the place, but at the very end of the match, I was kind of taken out of it with Nemeth and Kazarian because I was like, there's no way Kazarian's winning this. I really did. I really know what I mean.
I agree with
that. I was like, of all the people in this match, he's the least likely to win, I think. You know what I mean? So like, had it been Nemeth and like anyone else, I would have really been like, who's going to be the new champion? But because it was Kazarian, I hate to say it, and nothing against him, but it is what it is. I just didn't think he was going to be winning this. So Nemeth, you assumed at some point was going to be the TNA champion, unless his popularity just completely fizzled out. Because when they announced TNA rebranding and then they had the first big show of the year and like he was the big surprise at the end, it's like they're clearly going to build around him. And I was actually kind of surprised he didn't beat Moose like right away for the championship. But, you know, I also understand them trying to give Moose a little bit of a run with the thing. He was off the Shelley title run, right? Which was pretty long. So that all said, the main thing that was on my mind after Josh Alexander turned, which I thought was great as well, by the way, I thought that was done really, really well. I did not see that coming.
Not at all.
And right when that happened, I immediately was like, you know what they should do? Like, because here's the thing. Josh Alexander, I was saying going into this show, the only reason I wouldn't put the TNA championship on him is only because, like, I feel like we've already gotten the best Josh Alexander world title run we're going to get from Josh Alexander. Like, his first run was very long. It was great. Like, can he top that? Does he need that title belt? He's already a made man in this company going forward. But after that heel turn, I was like, it would be a smart move, I think, to go all the way with him. Because imagine a situation where you have Josh Alexander as the TNA champion and Ethan Page as the NXT champion. You have the North as the two world champions.
That's funny.
And they can team up on both shows as like a two-man power trip in both companies. So, I mean, now that they're both heel, it's an actual possibility. So they're in an interesting situation because if you're going to go Josh Alexander versus Joe Hendry going forward, you got to decide who's going to win that feud and move up to the world title next out of those two. And it's a real decision you're going to have to make because do you go Josh Alexander and have that opportunity to do what I'm talking about with the North, or do you stick with the hot hand and go with Hendry over Alexander and try to go all the way because of how popular he is right now in both companies. So good problems to have, by the way. You have a roster of people that are like, a lot of people are very over right now, which is a great situation. But that's where my mind's at now is like, man, this is a cool opportunity. You could have the North run in both companies. Like I'd maybe do that.
We have a super chat here from Jana saying, Josh's heel turn was great. I don't care. His character needed this. Everything he said was true. He is the heart and soul of TNA. They're in Canada and rooting for another man. This will be a great feud for Joe Hendry. And I think that is a really good point. He should come out at the Montreal tapings tomorrow night and say, you cared about the Scotsman. You didn't care about me. I was wearing pink. I was wearing pink like everyone else. And you didn't give a damn. I was the Canadian who wore the Bret Hart colors and you didn't give a shit. I think he should lean into that, and I hope that he does. We'll have a report tomorrow night after the tapings finish up. I will have that with spoilers, obviously, spoiler alerts. This is where I'm going to be a little bit annoyed with TNA again with the booking. They spent a good chunk of time telling us that Moose was undefeated in singles competition in about 2 years while he was still the TNA world champion. Normally, when you start introducing that thread, that means that the person who takes the title from you is going to be that big, hot, white meat baby face that deserves the next up. What did I say earlier about who's the next up? Mike Santana. To me, it was Santana and Moose for the world title at Bound for Glory if we weren't going to do Nemeth. And Santana was going to be the guy. Still feels like Santana's coming up. But this is a really weird way to do it where Moose gets pinned. And yes, it's a multi-man match, but he still lost the title. Mm-hmm. So we kind of took away the prestige of being the person who pins the guy who hasn't lost in singles competition in 2 years. It was just really strange to me. And this is the other part where, Jensen, you say it's a good thing that they had so many people up on top and it It is and it isn't. Because the whole point of this six-way match and it being elimination, which was to get more people cleared out of the way so that there weren't so many people at the top of the ladder in TNA's world title division. And instead what they did was save everybody and make everyone look good, which is fine, while also not really getting rid of what the big jam at the top of the list was. So it's like, it's a good problem to have, but also you script the show and you can kind of move people down based on how this match would have played out. So that's my one little gripe. And it's not, I don't think it's something that can't be overcome or told with more stories, with the playing of more stories starting tomorrow night. It was just something I thought about while I was watching this match. Those were two major things you could have done, but they chose not to. So now it's up to TNA to start breaking up those world title contenders and putting them into different feuds. Josh and Joe Hendry, absolutely something. Kazarian and Nemeth are probably going to be the first ones. That's probably going to be the first title defense for Nemeth officially at a PLE. So after the match, after the show went off the air, Nick Nemeth and the rest of the babyface champions, with Ryan Nemeth playing the role of Speedball Mike Bailey for whatever reason, he took the microphone and Nemeth said that at the tapings, it's going to be Ali versus Nemeth for the world title. So they're going to run that. And then they're also going to have PCO versus, oh my God, I forget who I said it was, but PCO has a match too against Moose. So that's another thing that's happening. And that's for the Digital Media Championship. And of course, wedding bells are ringing. So it's going to be a fun time at the old TNA show tomorrow night. That's the show. That's Slammiversary. There's so much to do. We have new champions. We have new chapters. Crest of Star, what you got going on?
I'll tell you, I got sleep going on right after this, and I just dropped all my dinner on the, well, not my leftovers, my leftovers, my piece of bread. Ladies and gentlemen, you catch me every Thursday and Saturday here on Fightful. Every Thursday, I go over TNA with our lovely Joe Pearl. Sometimes, like tonight, you see me with Steven Jensen. We go over wrestling, TNA. We got the pay-per-views. Saturdays, normally, I do Collision with Iridian and Rick. Clearly, I was here doing Slammiversary with you. But if that was too much, you can follow me on Twitter, Cresta the Star. I do inappropriate jokes. There's a link tree in my bio. You can find all of my stuff, even the list of all of these post shows. I have a playlist. I have it all for you. Cresta the Star on X, Cresta Star everywhere else besides Facebook, because I don't have one of those. I don't want to be on that chicken shit app. Steven Jensen, what you got going on?
Tomorrow, if y'all are hearing this before, around like 5 p.m. on Sunday, I plan, as long as the weather's good, I plan on being at Action Wrestling at DOS Barbecue in Atlanta, Georgia tomorrow. So say what's up if you're there. I'll try to get some audio interviews for y'all for Fightful Select. And speaking of Fightful Select, check out the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. It's every Sunday, sometimes Mondays, mainly covering the world of independent professional wrestling. It'll probably be Monday this week because I'll have to catch up on some stuff from tonight. Well, I was obviously doing this, covering this tonight. So I'll have to catch up on some indie stuff. And I'll be at that show live tomorrow. So it'll probably be a Monday upload, probably Monday night around the time of Raw. So keep a lookout for that over on FightfulSelect.com. And also every Thursday morning, myself and Jeremy Lambert are live with the Spotlight on Fightful. We talk WWE, AEW, Indies, a whole bunch of other stuff. And we have interviews for y'all as well. Most recent interview is with Adam Priest, who won the SCI tournament last weekend. So please check that out. This week, we plan on having Jameson Shook, who won the Action's Future Showcase tournament that same weekend. So I got some interviews lined up for y'all over the next few weeks and hopefully every week for y'all over there every Thursday, once again, on the Spotlight on Fightful. Also use code FIGHTTALK and independentwrestling.tv. And go Cody. Still the WWE champion. So go Cody.
We'll see what happens in a couple of weeks at SummerSlam. Who knows?
I'll be there live at Bad Blood. He is going to be the champion, bringing that thing home to Atlanta, dude.
Well, so if Jeremy Lambert had his way, you would have a Cody-less title run right now. It wouldn't be Cody with that title, but instead, Jeremy Lambert and I host a show called In the Weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern, over on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. Go ahead and subscribe to that. Check us out over there. I won't be on the show on Monday. I will be traveling back to my home in Toronto because I'm here in Montreal for Slammiversary weekend, which is what we just talked about. Cresta and I are going to be back on Thursdays, as we always are, to talk about TNA Impact, where Thankfully, I won't have to pay much attention to the TV show because I will have already seen most of it. So that's a good night for me. It's an easy night for me. Until then, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L for Cresta and for Steven. I wish you good night. But first, hey, did they tell you where Bound for Glory is going to be this year? Did they run a promo for that?
They might have, but as soon as
I don't think they did. Do you have it? Are you about to show it?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you in the next one. Good night.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.